A lot of times moms will come to me at the point of their daughters embarking on puberty and wanting resources on how do we have these conversations in a positive light so that they learn to embrace and really appreciate God's design and the body that they have been given, instead of seeing it as drudgery, instead of seeing this new rhythm they're about to enter into as something that they really would rather be a boy. And so, because I get asked this so often, I really want to tell you what I am thinking when somebody asks me this question, because my response is not one that I'm usually going to tell them in that moment. But my first thought is, oh, can't we get them earlier? Can't we start telling them this earlier? Because the earlier we start to normalize how amazing God's design is in our bodies, the easier these conversations and the positive outcomes are going to be. So let's dive into this. So those of you that have been around for any amount of time, you already know that I have four girls. I have six kids, but four girls right in the middle. My oldest daughter will be 15 in a couple months, and my youngest daughter will be 5 in a couple months. And so this is something I think about a lot, not just in terms of my own daughter that I'm raising, but also in their community, their friends, the ways that my friends are helping their daughters to navigate different things. And I'll never forget, I have a very dear friend who she's actually just so gifted in the theology and her understanding of the faith. And she told me that her daughter told her that she absolutely hated when she had her first period. She felt disgusted. She was really upset about it. Like, she just was like, ugh, I hate being a girl. And that is exactly the opposite of what I want to help foster in the girls that I am encountering, because we really want them to embrace and understand and see their body and God's design in their body as something that they can work with instead of having to be a victim to, right? Even in this subtle way, you can see how if one little girl has this attitude of, ugh, I don't like being a girl, versus another little girl who is like, oh, that's gonna happen. That's how God made me. God made me like you, mom, and you grew babies, and he gave me this possibility. I have one little girl, one of my daughters, that talks a lot about becoming a nun, in which she would never be a biological mother, and yet she still loves that her body does this. And she loves to understand and see in her biology that even there, God is good. So, how do we do this? How do we do this with our daughters before they're at the point of puberty, before they have the conversation of, you know, this is what's going on with your body. These are the changes. These are how to help support your body, which I do. And I love having those conversations too. But there are so many conflicting messages out there about our bodies, especially. And this is part of the reason why John Paul II gave us these homilies on the theology of the body, right? The theology of the body is really getting us back to this fundamental place of your body is good, and the way that you are made is good and beautiful, and that there we can see the beautiful design of our creator, how he made us good and beautiful. So, how do we prepare them for these conversations? I think one super great way is through pregnancy, right? When my almost 15-year-old was 10, I was pregnant with her little sister, who will now almost be 5. So they're 10 years apart. And I'll never forget, it was a few weeks before I had the baby. And I was putting her to bed one night, and I laid down with her, not something I do super often anymore. And the baby was kicking. And so I said, come here, come here, come feel the baby. And we just had this beautiful conversation about how the female body is different from the male body, because my body has a place inside of it where a person can grow. My body is able to feed, sustain, and nourish another person in a very intimate way. And I think when we start having these conversations about our physical biology, it tunes us into the spiritual reality that that corresponds with, right? I talk a lot about how often, you know, when we have something really emotionally heavy, I know this isn't always the case, this is a big generalization, but when we have something we're dealing with, whether we just got hurt and we fell and we run to somebody, if mom and dad are right next to each other, usually the little one's gonna run to mom. Not always, but often. And I believe that part of this is because we have this place in our body to hold another, Edith Stein said that the, I'm paraphrasing here, but she has this beautiful quote on the female body is a place for others to come and rest in. And I just have such a beautiful visual when I think about our wombs and that our wombs were designed for that. And so then when you look at the relationships with your parents, when you look at as a little girl, as you look at your relationships with your siblings, with your brothers and with your sisters, and the way they interact with each other, it's different because we were built differently. And that is something that we can learn to embrace. It's as if it's awakening something in our female hearts of who we are and how we are created. If you don't have the blessing of being able to have this big age gap, a lot of times when we have friends that are pregnant, even if this just happens once in your daughter's tender years, asking, could my daughter feel the baby if the baby moves? Letting her physical body, her physical condition be a jumping off point of look at how amazing this is. Do you know what's happening here? We talk about pregnancy, but let's really talk about pregnancy. There's this beautiful book called Angel in the Waters, and it's essentially this. It's a, a theology of the body approach to pregnancy and what that baby goes through in the womb. But again, it's raising an awareness at the age and stage that they're at to help them to be able to move forward in their understanding of how God made them. So something else that we can do is really pointing out to them when we see little ones, we see babies or toddlers out in public, oh, aren't they so sweet? Aren't they so cute? Even if the baby's crying, even if the baby's upset, helping them to understand, that's just the way the babies communicate, especially if you don't have babies in your household. This is definitely something I'm going to have to cultivate with my little ones because, my baby now is 8 months. My 16-year-old son, he gets little kids and babies, and he can have more patience with them because he sees, oh, they are hungry. They are tired. There is a place I need to come meet them there and help them through this. But my 8-month-old, he may be their youngest. And so, God willing, he'll have nieces and nephews to model this for him. But if he doesn't, to take those opportunities out in public, I have to share a story with you because this is what we want to be sure is not the loudest voice in our kids' heads when they think about babies and children, especially from young, tender ages. The subconscious brain is very vulnerable. And so they're taking these interactions they have with children, especially if it's very rare, they're like, an only child or a child with two children. They'll interact with the baby at, on an airplane or perhaps the childcare at the gym. We internalize these negative encounters, right? So one day I was working at the Y, and my 5-year-old and 8-month-old were, a 4-year-old and 8-month-old were in the childcare. And I told them, please let me know as soon as my baby cries. As I'm walking in, I saw a mom and her toddlers walking out and immediately saw that my baby was screaming, crying. He was very upset. They did not call me like I asked, but I heard this little one say, Mommy, I don't like coming here. Other people's kids cry the whole time. I just thought to myself, well, dear, sorry about that. I did tell them to call me. Happily cut my workout short so that I could go get my baby. But if that is that little one's only interaction with babies, it's going to be largely negative, right? And then we want to expose them to things like theology of the body or natural family planning and marriage. And yet that was their first encounter with babies. It's a lot more difficult to stomach that and to say, oh, yes, I want to be open to children when they have seen children as a nuisance, right? Whether it's from seeing kids upset in public, or the way that our attitude is towards little ones, whether they inconvenience us because they're loud in church or they get in our way if we're trying to walk down the sidewalk and a stroller's in our way. These subtle things speak really loud to our children. And that's part of what we need to be really intentional about. If instead we can cultivate this beauty of how great God's design is with giving us little, vulnerable, small babies that need to be loved and taken care of, that does also awaken something in our hearts, in our biology about who we are, whose we are, and our call in this life. Because going back to my daughter that talks a lot about becoming a religious nun, even if she does, There is still a fertility of her soul, of her motherhood, that is necessary in this world. And that's something that we want to focus on teaching our daughters how to embrace before they have these physiological changes, and then also helping them to be able to embrace those when that does come about. Having conversations about how we can take care of our lifestyle and our body instead of being a victim to this is what my body does. Instead, taking ownership. I take care of my body. I work on cultivating strong muscles so that I feel strong. We've all been in this place where we feel like a victim of our body, whether it's because our hormones are off and we can't figure it out, or we're noticing lots of headaches and we're having a hard time diving into those. We're experiencing lots of aches and pains. Where do I go from here? If instead we can get curious and let that become a conversation we're having with our body, where we're listening to our body and learning better how to support it, this then too will transfer to them. When they start cycling, if something is wrong, if they're noticing these hormonal shifts and they don't feel good, we can empower them from this place of let's dive into that. Let's learn how to support your body from here instead of to ignore and suppress and shut it down. We also want to instill in them that everything around us is made on purpose for a purpose. We serve a good God, and he is so intricate in how he created this amazing world. You know, whether we're looking at the ratios of gases in our atmosphere or the ways that an atom comes together and can become solid flesh and blood, everything is made on purpose for a purpose. And this is really important to instill in our children, because I think sometimes we get to this place of marvel and awe, and then it stops. And then we think, well, maybe it's not everything. Maybe everything is made beautiful and amazing except this one function of my body. And I should have some shame and reluctance to look that in the face. But if instead we can cultivate this unequivocally, everything is made on purpose for a purpose. We can also help them to see that everything about their body and what it does is good. And everything about their body shows us our creator. This is a lot of what I dive into in my mother-daughter group class. In the mother-daughter group class, we talk about how do we reconcile mind, body, and soul health? How do we have a positive relationship with what's on our plate and what's on our body and integrate these things? We talk about cycle charting, and I have a full program in there on teaching girls to chart their cycles for this very reason, because it helps us to understand the language of our body and how better to support it. So if that's something you're interested in, sign up for my email list and you will be the first to know the next time doors open for my next mother-daughter group class.